This was one of the most popular performances in 20th century American popular song. The white Al Jolson in blackface singing My Mammy and playing a black character from the 1800s, all evoking the aesthetic of black minstrelsy.
I see here is the morning peeping through the cellar door.
Here's a relatively recent cover of a very old minstrel tune called Peeping Through the Cellar Door. Minstrelsy, a complicated, difficult-to-decipher art form, an entertainment medium that seemed to embrace racism and inclusion at the same time, suggested love of black culture and hatred of it, expressed a confidence of African-American performers in their new land, and expressed a humiliating, self-loathing embrace of the worst black stereotypes. There may be no way to resolve just what black minstrelsy is and was. It was certainly the basis for the huge success of Amos and Andy.
Biology, what's that?
Well, that's a study of bugs and insects.
Bugs and insects? What good is that?
Well, Andy, they'll prepare you for any field you might choose, whether it's medicine, zoology, or extermination.
Comedian Flip Wilson went there in his 1970s comedy variety show.
I'm going to Las Vegas because there's sin there.
Sin!
That's right, there's sin in Las Vegas,
yes.
And I'm going to put a stop to it.
Yes.
If I can't stop it, at least I'm going to slow it down.
Yes.
Other comedians like Richard Pryor tried to expose the stereotypes, reverse them, to make audiences deliberately uncomfortable.
Do you feel that within the fiscal year, the unemployment rate will drop below the 5% level?
Well, as you know, the 5% level pertains mostly to, if I may say, white America. In the black America, the minority situations is up to as high as 45%.
Today, Tyler Perry relies on controversial black stereotypes to produce his very successful films. Characters that cause most to laugh, many to squirm.
Because I open my house up to anybody in need. I feed the homeless and help the hungry. I'm going out in the highways and byways and doing what the Lord told me to do. Praise him. Thank you, Jesus.
A new book called Darkest America, Black Minstrelsy from Slavery to Hip Hop, explores this strain of American entertainment history. Yuval Taylor is senior editor at the Chicago Review Press, and Jake Austin is editor of Rocktober magazine. They co-wrote the book. I sat down with the authors and asked where they began to analyze this complicated history of minstrelsy.
The first thing that I did for this book was to look at how Ethel Waters transformed a racist song of the 1930s called Underneath the Harlem Moon into a piece of triumph in the movie Rufus Jones for President by changing all the lyrics.
Underneath.
And looking at how other African American performers didn't change the lyrics but performed it in different ways. And that kind of made me think about this whole idea of blacks and blackface, and also I wanted to deal with and understand my discomfort at Zora Neale Hurston's use of dialect, at the Chappelle show, the way he reifies negative stereotypes of African Americans.
I was in Mississippi doing a show, and I go to a restaurant to order some food, and I say to the guy, I say, I would like to have, and before I even finish my sentence, he says, the chicken! I could not believe it. This man was absolutely right. I said, how did he know?
All these things made me very uncomfortable, and I was trying to get at the roots of what was going on there when black performers were taking negative black stereotypes and representing them for white audiences.
And for audiences of all types. I mean, this taking of black stereotypes and just in a non-judgmental way, just going for the most awkward spot is central to Chappelle's humor.
We almost never see black comedians literally wear blackface anymore. But the thing is, there are whites that wear blackface every year, you know, for one reason or another, either to be shocking or, you know, to be wild that there was a film where Robert Downey Jr. wore blackface the whole movie. Like this comes up all the time. You almost never see black people bring that back, actually wear blackface.
We're talking with Yuval Taylor, who's the senior editor at the Chicago Review Press and co-author of Darkest America, Black Minstrelsy from Slavery to Hip Hop. Also, his co-author, Jake Austin, is editor of Rocktober magazine. As a high voltage rail in aesthetics in America, is it possible to even say that in its commercial heyday, that black minstrelsy was a prison for black performers or a liberation for black performers?
I think it was more of a liberation in some respects. You don't get this idea of blackface as a prison until, well, actually you do in some ways in the 19th century. Some African-American critics do talk about blackface in a very negative way. But for many of its performers, the blackface persona, the blackface mask, offered them an opportunity to act crazy and wild, to indulge in behavior that was completely forbidden or at least inappropriate. So in that sense, the blackface minstrel stage was a kind of paradise, you know, a representation of a paradise where people could be as crazy as they wanted to be.
One thing to remember is that starting in the 1840s, minstrel shows, you know, with white performers in blackface become the most popular entertainment in America. And after emancipation in the 1860s, black minstrel shows with all black performers usurp white minstrel shows in popularity. So it becomes the most popular form of entertainment in America. So even though there's this terrible dynamic of black people pretending to be, or, you know, imitating the white people that were imitating black people and doing all these stereotypes, there's also a lot of kind of triumph and pride in becoming the most popular entertainment in America and becoming the biggest stars in America.
Not only that, they were using amazing skills, and they were very, very talented performers, both in terms of comedy and in terms of music, musicality, and dancing, acting. You know, these performers were triumphing in that way too.
And you know, you're describing both an absolutely ubiquitous sense of this aesthetic in American history, at least at certain periods in our history. But also, at the same time, I'm just feeling this sense of remoteness from trying to get back to what it must have been like in those times, in those shows, being those performers, making the decisions that they made every night as comedians, as singers, that sort of thing. Spike Lee tried to go there in the movie Bamboozled.
Gentlemen, the show. Our show is satirical. You know what that means? That means we are poking fun of this. Our aim is to destroy these stereotypes.
You describe as a success. Do you think he got there to recreating, in a sense, what it was like in those times?
Absolutely not. Spike Lee's movie is a triumph of criticism of minstrel shows. There's really two parallel traditions that are going on with black minstrelsy. One is the performers who are doing a certain kind of comedy and a certain kind of performance, and they keeps echoing for good or bad, and, you know, many cases for bad till today. But from the beginning, black intellectuals are criticizing it. And there have been some amazing works of criticism, I mean, that are artistic triumphs in themselves. And that's what he's doing.
So before we go, then, is there a performer that Yuval and then Jake that you would have loved to have witnessed the performance of, to have been in the audience or to have had a chance to actually speak to and ask certain questions to in the course of this investigation? Yuval?
Burt Williams was the greatest blackface comedian of the 20th century, who introduced sorrow into minstrelsy but got a lot of laughs. And William Henry Lane in the 19th century was the first blackface performer. He was an amazing dancer whom Charles Dickens wrote about.
Jake?
Well, you know, Williams had a partner, was initially Williams and Walker, and his partner was the master of this thing called the cakewalk, which people now think of as kind of a ridiculous thing where African-Americans would do these very elaborate struts across the stage, and that becomes kind of a comedy thing in years. You think of like George Jefferson kind of doing his funny walk. But the black newspapers at the time said that he had incandescent comportment. It was like the most beautiful thing anyone had seen. It would be really nice to have seen something that people felt was that beautiful.
Well, you can experience it to some extent in the book by my two guests, Jake Austin and Yuval Taylor. Yuval Taylor is senior editor at the Chicago Review Press. Jake Austin is editor of Rocktober magazine. They both authored the book Darkest America, Black Minstrelsy from Slavery to Hip Hop. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much.
It was great speaking with you.
So join our conversation about speeches at conventions down through history. What speeches stick with you? Akiva in Brooklyn writes, Ronald Reagan's Tear Down This Wall speech.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
It reminded Akiva of the concept of freedom and liberty on which this country was founded. Tell us your view by calling 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.